For years, the Bronx has ranked as the least healthy county in New York State. Our series, Prescription for the Bronx, asks the questions why and what is being done about it. To begin to understand why health problems persist in the Bronx, it's helpful to hear the story of Lincoln Medical and Mental Health Center. Located in the South Bronx, Lincoln has the busiest emergency room in the city, with over 170,000 visits last year. It's also a safety net hospital, so if you don't have insurance or are living here illegally, you're going to Lincoln. Today, this reasonably well-kept hospital off the Grand Concourse is sometimes called the New Lincoln, because much to everyone's relief, the old Lincoln is long gone. Amanda Aronchik has the story.
The Affordable Care Act is revolutionizing healthcare. But in the Bronx, there are still too many people who have no doctor to see when they get sick.
There's this enormous population in the Bronx that's just not connected to healthcare except through emergency rooms.
Dr. Bruce Soloway is vice chair of the Department of Family and Social Medicine at Albert Einstein. And for more than 25 years, he has seen hospital care change dramatically in the Bronx. He says that while today there is good care to be had, the Bronx is still plagued with chronic diseases.
And sometimes it's heart failure out of control, sometimes it's asthma out of control, sometimes it's end-stage HIV disease that's just right at the brink of death, really. And you say, how did these people get this way? How have they neglected themselves to this extent? That has not changed.
In 1970, Bruce Soloway walked into Lincoln's emergency room. Before he was a doctor, he was a radio reporter, and he made this documentary for WBAI called Lincoln Hospital, The Decline of Healthcare.
What's wrong with her?
He gets coughing and cold.
Do you have any idea how long you're going to have to wait?
Rodrigo Bonilla.
No, but I think that has to wait too much because a lot of people in there.
Back then, the hospital's head of pediatrics was Dr. Louis Fraud. He said that really sick children showed up in the ER all the time.
The Lincoln District has children brought in neglected states, which you don't see anymore. They don't have the doctors down there. They have the lousiest hospital physically in the whole city down there. The problems are gigantic, and what the city and what everybody puts in is minimal.
Malnutrition, tuberculosis, rheumatic fever, diseases long gone from other neighborhoods could still be found in the South Bronx.
We have seen children get lead poisoning while hospitalized at Lincoln Hospital. Now, this is disgraceful.
I mean, there was a joke in the neighborhood that if you got stabbed on this side of the street, crawl over to the other side so the ambulance wouldn't take you to Lincoln. You know, Lincoln had a bad rep for years.
If you recognize this voice, it's because he's CBS 2 TV reporter Pablo Guzman. He grew up near Lincoln, and he said that back then, the hospital was known as the butcher shop.
You just knew it was different elsewhere, depending on where the money was. You just knew that.
When it first opened in 1839, Lincoln Hospital was the home for the colored aged. It was opened by abolitionists. Over the years, it moved from Manhattan to the South Bronx. It added hospital beds and New York's first school for African-American nurses. But as medicine modernized and some hospitals improved, Old Lincoln remained in a building that was condemned. By the 1960s, it still ran on D.C. power and had open wards. But because it was in the South Bronx, one administrator explained, we just didn't think about it.
The mayor will start his remarks in just a few moments.
But when Mayor John Lindsay took office, the hospital's neglect was starting to become a political problem, too.
Here now is Mayor Lindsay.
I'm sorry that I held you up. Ladies and gentlemen, the new Lincoln Hospital in the Bronx is a subject that has been discussed for some years. It's been talked about.
The money for a new Lincoln Hospital had been put in the city budget for 25 years. And for 25 years, the city of New York kept coming up with excuses and finding other things to do with the money.
The plan is laid with a definite timetable to get it done.
By 1970, still no new hospital. Around the same time, there was a growing radical movement taking place in the Bronx, and a lot of it was focused on health. We usually think of the social upheaval of that time as taking place in the streets or in the bedroom, but there was a revolution going on inside hospitals, too.
The struggle in the hospitals and the health field is only a small part of a total struggle against oppression.
That's Cleo Silvers, back then, and here she is today.
We were dramatic. Absolutely, that's true.
Silvers was a member of the Young Lords, a kind of Puerto Rican equivalent to the Black Panthers. The Young Lords weren't a gang exactly, but they weren't just a Puerto Rican social club either. They were really into takeovers and liberations. So they liberated churches and x-ray trucks and rats.
We caught rats in jars, put holes in the lids so that they would live, and they took them to City Hall and let them go. We were like, we don't want them in the South Bronx. If you guys aren't going to do anything about it, then here.
The Young Lords then set their sights on Lincoln Hospital, where they saw an obvious answer to the problem. Take it over.
The doctors and the nurses came to us and said, please.
Pablo Guzman was a member of the Young Lords, too.
Do something here because there's rats in the emergency room. I'm not making that up. I mean, that's literally what they were telling us. And we went there and saw it. I mean, that's what convinced us, okay, Lincoln Hospital.
On the morning of July 14th, 1970, Cleo Silvers was up before dawn. She put on her tight pants, combat boots, and a little jacket, and headed over to Lincoln Hospital.
Of course, we had people inside.
The doctors helped us get in. It was really like a military maneuver.
Inside, there was a group of radically minded young doctors who were willing to help.
Our main concern was that patients not be affected.
We didn't want anybody to die as a result of the work that we were doing.
The hospital continued to see patients as dozens of young lords seized the administrative offices and barricaded the doors.
By the time first light came, we were all in, and we had taken over the hospital.
Hundreds of police officers in full riot gear surrounded the hospital. City Hall scrambled to respond.
I remember going up there really pissed off.
Sid Davidoff was sent by Mayor Lindsay to negotiate.
Dealing with a hospital, cried aloud. You know, geez, and now going up there, I'm going to negotiate a hospital.
He's got to keep the police from coming in while negotiating to get the Young Lords out.
I think they were smart enough not to interfere with the health-related issues, but they were also smart enough to know that we couldn't allow it to last any amount of time.
The Young Lords held a press conference inside the hospital. Guzman put on a lab coat.
I really liked that. I thought it was kind of cool to wear a lab coat. And had a big afro and shades, and I put a stethoscope around my neck, and I took over the press conference.
They demanded humane treatment from the doctors, free food for waiting patients, no cutbacks for the workers, and, of course, a new Lincoln Hospital. Davidoff did the negotiating with the Young Lords.
He sat there and watched the frustration of an organization that felt strongly that people couldn't get what they could get downtown. And you say, so he said, what was the administration's view of them? How do you get angry at that? They're right.
Around 5 p.m., the Young Lords agreed to stand down in exchange for a quiet and safe exit from the hospital.
We walked out one by one with lab coats, walked into the homes of the people in the community and the churches, and the police never figured out where we were. It was pretty scary, but it was amazing. Everybody got out with, I don't think one person got beaten up, and I don't think the cops figured it out ever.
6 years later, the new $200 million Lincoln Medical Center opened its doors 14 blocks from the old hospital. The first patient in the emergency room was a 16-year-old, rushed in with abdominal pain. In less than an hour, she delivered a son. Prematurely, he weighed just 4.5 pounds. His mother named him Lincoln. For WNYC, I'm Amanda Aronchik.
I'm here now with Dr. Jo Ivy Buford. She's president of the New York Academy of Medicine. And for many years, she ran the city's Health and Hospitals Corporation. It oversees the largest public hospital system in the country, which includes Bellevue, Harlem, and Lincoln Hospitals. She also currently leads the HHC's governing board. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what did you think of that story?
I think it was true at the time. And some of the stigma and stereotyping of city hospitals dating back to those years certainly have continued.
You've spent your career in public health. You've been grappling with this nexus of poverty and sickness compared to 40 years ago. What would you say has changed and what hasn't?
Well, I think certainly the quality of the public hospital system has been transformed. I think if you look at the quality indicators, the physical plant, the quality of physicians in public hospitals, they stand up very well to the best voluntary hospitals in the city and nationally. And in fact, the Health and Hospitals Corporation, as a policy matter, has put all of their quality indicators on the web, on to the public, made available to the public in ways that some voluntaries haven't. So I think that part of the healthcare element has been transformed. I think we have also realized increasingly that the main determinants of health in the community are not necessarily the hospital. They're not things the hospitals can solve. They have a huge role to play, but that we really need to think about primary care, ambulatory care, care in the community that can keep people out of the ERs unnecessarily and keep them from coming into hospitals too late to be helpful, but also begin to deal with some of the other critical issues in communities like poverty, like lack of education, like unemployment and environment. And we know a lot more about those than we did back in the 60s.
What do you hope the Affordable Care Act can change in the Bronx?
Well, the biggest issue is going to be health insurance coverage, and New York State's done a great job. There are over a million previously uninsured people who are now covered for care, and that's very important. I think the other issue in the state health care reform and the national reform is to put more of an emphasis on primary care. So this would be community clinics, of which there are many in the Bronx. It probably is better supplied with community clinics and small physician practices than many parts of New York City. The issue would be the hours they're open, getting people connected to them. I think one of the earlier speakers mentioned the question of people aren't connected to the health care that exists in the community. And that's really part of the health care reform, is giving them coverage and making sure that they connect to local resources and that those resources are available. We know that clinics aren't open at night often or on the weekends, and that's why people end up in the emergency room. And that really has to change.
What do you think should have been in the Affordable Care Act that didn't end up in there? And what was the debate missing?
I think generally, if I had one criticism, I'd say that there isn't enough of a shift of financial investment into ambulatory care, into community-based primary care. And then there is an unprecedented investment in preventive services, that preventive in community-based prevention than there's ever been before. Things like helping people manage, stop smoking, helping people exercise, getting healthy foods. That money has kind of been cut away, sometimes by Congress, sometimes by others. But I think if there were more in that public health realm to improve the conditions in communities and more in the primary care realm, that we would be making faster progress on some of the issues that we know exist.
If you could write a prescription for the Bronx, what would it be?
I think it would be listening to the community voices, listening to neighborhoods, getting people involved with their healthcare providers and with public health and political leaders to identify what the health priorities are in those communities and really begin to address them. And I think this mayor has ideas about using the place, using neighborhoods, using parts of the city that have higher burden of disease as a focus for really coalescing a lot of services and activities and also connecting it up to community leadership on health.
Dr. Joe Ivy Buford is president of the New York Academy of Medicine, and for many years she ran the city's Health and Hospitals Corporation. Thank you so much for coming on this morning.
Pleasure. Thank you.
This is WNYC.